Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, and welcome back to Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. So nice to see y'all on this beautiful Thursday of quarantine. Another day of lockdown. At least I'm still locking down. I hope you guys are too, unless you are going to work and it's needed. And if you are going to work, I hope you're wearing a mask. Because this virus is still out there. It's still doing its thing. And it's going to keep doing its thing until we all come together and wear a damn mask and shut the hell up about it and just get on with our lives. Because I would love to go back to work. I know that everybody in this town would love to, get back to making things to entertain you. So let's all come together, like the commercials like to say, and wear the mask. Unless you have a pre-existing condition or medical condition that makes it so that you can't wear the mask, which then I understand. But, if you don't and you're just like, I don't wanna, shut up and wear it, Just like get over it. It's fine. Today on the show, we have Brooke Lewis Bellis. She's a writer, an author, an actor, producer. She does it all. She's super inspirational. She has a great story, and I'm super excited that she came on the podcast and that I was able to meet her through this, which is kind of cool. I'm meeting new people, fellow artists, through my podcast, and I think that's really fun and special. So here's my conversation with Brooke Lewis Bellis. Welcome to the show, Brooke Lewis Bellis. Well, what?
Girl, Jillian, I am so grateful to be here. And I'll be honest, one thing you'll learn about me, because I know we don't really know each other, but we know each other, Cat's Pure will tell you. I mean, I'm such a straight shooter, and I'm so grateful to be here. I'm so excited. Congratulations on your new show, first of all. You're welcome. I'm so impressed with you. I mean, I'm an OG in this industry, and I always do my due diligence before even saying yes to an opportunity like this. Yeah. And I was so excited. My heart's like fizzling right now. Like truly. Yeah. You're so inspiring. You're so young and so beautiful and you're so accomplished. And I just,
thank you.
I'm really honored to be here with you today.
Oh, I feel like I'm the one who should be telling you this, not the opposite. So welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. You should be proud.
Oh, yeah, thanks. It's, been a crazy wild ride. I just go with the flow.
Yeah, don't we all?
How are you today?
I'm great. I'm excited to be here. I mean, look, we're still in this crazy quarantine Los Angeles situation. Yep. But I'm in gratitude. I mean, we've all had challenges throughout this mess. But you know what? Like you, and I know that, you got super inspired to do this podcast and show, mm-hmm. and I've stayed super creative. I'm one to speak about making choices, and with every choice, there's a consequence, right? And so, I've been very committed to just trying to be in gratitude and trying to every day, obviously, for being healthy and be doing all the charity work and a lot of fundraisers for COVID-19 and stuff, but really also staying creative because that's what we do.
Yeah, you have to do it. I mean, I finished a garden. I built like a big garden in my backyard and it's really beautiful and it's great. And then I finished it and I was like, now what? So I started this because I finished that and now I needed a new project. And here we are talking.
It's perfect.
I love it. What have you been doing? Have you been just working on different scripts and things and ideas to get going once we're able to get back to set?
So this is what is so crazy. And it's almost like sometimes I feel, you know, I sometimes feel guilty, like when everybody's so in devastation, but I try not to, I try to like talk myself out of that chatter because I've worked very, very hard. And you know what that's like to get to where I am, you know, I've worked hard for everything I have. And so when this pandemic hit, and interestingly enough, who knows, I don't even want to put it out there, but I had come home from a spec TV pilot that we shot in Reno, Nevada. Right, we came home right at Christmas to LA and I got very sick. I was sick for almost 3 months, for 2.5 months with 103.6 fever, an upper respiratory infection. I don't want to even go there. I know my husband and I think we had it, but we don't know. There's no way of knowing because they didn't test back. So the point of the story is I was self-quarantined and self-isolated from literally like New Year's on to through March until like, and pilot season hit and everything. And, you know, I was doing a lot of pilot auditions. So I was so crazed at that point, you know, from being in, and then I healed gratefully. And so I kind of, when this all happened, truly, I have not stopped. Jillian, it sounds crazy. I have been working from home, from my home office, 15, 18 hour days, no joke. Throughout this mess. And, you know, honestly, I mean, and I don't know if you're experiencing the same thing, you know, and you're a rock star and a TV star. And like, I mean, it's so weird to share with the listeners. Like, I feel like I made a joke and I said, I really think like the A-listers all left Hollywood, went to their, went to their like homes and talked.
They're all just like hiding.
Totally. And so it kind of opened up in positivity mode, like kind of opened up opportunities for, you know, a C-lister like me who doesn't always get these opportunities. And I've had so many incredible auditions, and there's general auditions.
That's
and
awesome. Oh, I know. I love the casting directors who are doing general auditions. I talked about this on a past episode, and it's crazy to me because I've seen some actors be like, this is dumb. Why should I do a general audition? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, because it's working your craft. You get to, you know, just do something, which feels great as an actor. And who knows if they're going to watch that and love you and say, I'm going to cast you in the next thing I put up.
Couldn't agree more. And again, you know, the conversation obviously trickled down to all of us actors. And I had that conversation with my actress friends too. And same thing. And some of them, I was like, well, do I need to be doing, you know, the monologue auditions for New York Broadway? Probably not, because that's not my niche right now, you know, but some of the others, and I've gotten to directly have some of the general meetings with some of the big TV cast directors. So I'm really, I've been taking the positive opportunities, and I've also been working in post-production a ton for the stripped TV pilot that Mark Klebanoff created. Yeah, the one we did in Reno.
It's so funny. I literally said when this started, I was like, damn, I wish I had a movie in post-production right now because this is the time.
Right? Exactly what you just said. I have that in post. I've stripped in post from Mark Klebanoff. We have a feature that is the sweetest, cutest little micro-budget feature that Stacey Lane Wilson, who is such, she's one of my besties and she's amazing. Aww. And she actually wrote and directed my short film Psychotherapy that won us a ton of awards a couple of years ago. And she did a feature that we shot, and I was one of the executive producers back in November. That was before I went to Reno, and it's titled The Second Age of Aquarius. And it's it's so fun. It's such a wild ride that she wrote with Darren Gordon Smith from Repo fame. And
oh my
God,
wait, Repo, the genetic opera?
Yes.
I freaking love that movie so much. See? I watched that when I was a kid, like, I don't know, I was a teenager, I think, when it came out. And My friends and I used to be like running around the house screaming like Zydrate comes in a little glass vial like all
You're
the time.
Awesome. Okay, they're going to listen to this and they're going to go nuts. So Darren, yes. So Darren was one of the writers and created all the music and composed all the music.
Oh
so
my God, what a talent.
Yes, it was such a fun micro piece. And so we shot that. So now that's in post-production. Stripped the pilots in post-production. And then... crazy. This is how nuts I am, Jillian, because I just can't stop. And you can already tell.
No, I'm the same way. I love this.
I know you are. I know. We need it. We so need it. I'm telling you, I'm very empathic and intuitive. And I know I'm over 15 years older than you, but like my gut, I was like, I love this woman. Like she's like a mini me. Like you produce, you write, you do everything. And trust me, I'm a ladies of the lake fan. Jessica Morris, our girl, yeah. Jessica Morris. Love. So I cast her in Stripped, the TV pilot that we
oh,
did.
Oh, no way.
Yes. And we did that in Reno. She's a darling friend and she's just so talented.
I love
and beautiful.
Jessica. I know. She's stunning. She like stunning. When she stands there, you're just like, you're not real, right? Because
right?
You're perfect. Like,
totally.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So she was in the pilot that we did Stripped and I got to star opposite Casper Van Dien. So we can talk about it later. But but I love Ladies Lake and I know you're a huge soap star. But we keep it moving. And, you know, I have to say, not to pat myself on the back, but if I can have that space for a minute, like when we first went into Corona and COVID, mm-hmm. one of my other best friends who is a just incredibly, incredibly talented writer, director, Joshua Butler, and he's mm-hmm. very well known for directing Vampire Diaries, Secret
oh,
Circle.
Wow.
So yeah, all the stuff you watch when you were younger.
Yeah. My teenage years here.
There you go. And he's done The Following and The Magicians currently and blah, blah, blah. So Josh and I, speaking of the past again and seeing how that segues to the future, like we in about end of October, November, shot a proof of concept for a feature / another kind of streaming series idea. Mm. And I went to him when we got into isolation because like I said, I had been sequestered myself sick
right.
for a couple months. I'm like, I've got to get creative. We had been having a conversation about what to do during this, like no one knew what was to come. And I'm sort of a visionary. And I swear to you, I went to him and this is back in March and we had a production meeting. I said, here's what I want to do. I want to finish our proof of concept and sort of shoot it virtually as a streaming series. This is pre anybody doing it now because everybody's doing it now.
Yeah, you see like all of the different types of reunion shows that are even happening online.
Yep, exactly. And we literally shot, we went into pre-production right away. My company, Philly Chick Pictures, executive produced it. I produced it. He created it. We built a bigger story around the story we had created. And our cast is amazing. And we literally shot this for a week, over a week, probably.
Wow.
Yes, virtually via Skype. And everyone was at their home location. Our cast was incredible. And of course, I got to play, you know, one of the ensemble lead roles. Mm-hmm. And it was an incredible opportunity. So
that's so fun.
Yes,
I love that.
Yes. And it's horror. And so which goes back to
Even better.
Yes. And it goes back to my roots, you know, where I sort of became known years ago. And so I embraced it and I hadn't done horror in quite some time. And so, you know, Josh and I, and he had become famous doing Vlog that MTV mm-hmm. picked up years ago. And he had directed the feature. That's how we met like 13 years ago. And so it's really interesting how, for the listeners, that, you know, how life comes in circles and in ebbs and flows,
it's true.
Right?
It's yeah. totally true. Everything comes. It's very bizarre. Things like that have happened to me in the past. And you're like, oh, okay. That's why that happened, so that this could happen 10 years later. Got it. Cool. Thank you. Moving on.
It's crazy. And it's crazy.
Going back to horror here for a second. So is that what kind of broke you into the business, is roots in horror?
Great question. So one would think, Jillian, however, and this is, again, keeping in the format of your show, which inspires me so, because I'm such a prime example of what everything that you're talking about with, like, you know, I always say like higher power, God laughs when we're making plans, because you just don't know what's going to be. I started my career. I was very blessed at 21, right out of college, went right to New York and landed Tony and Tina's Wedding equity contract off Broadway.
Dang, girl. He got an equity contract.
Right away. Right. So yes. So the mobster comedy, Tony and Tina's Wedding, and it was seven shows a week.
Wow.
And seven shows a week. I think I originally had off like Monday nights. That was it. It was tough at, you know, a young age to be in New York. But like, you know this, when you get hired young, you think like the world is your oyster, you know, and
taking
an OG, right? You know. So I get that, and like Paradigm signs me right away because I'm making money.
Damn, you know? Girl.
Yes. However, life takes turns like we're talking about. So I started young in New York and did Tony and Tina's for 3 years, 7 shows a week. And from that, so I'm a Paradigm. I did, you know, I did a couple of day player roles on One Life to Live, soap stuff, and then a lot of edgy indie films. And I went to Sundance when I was super young. And then I moved to LA, and everything took like a halt and a turn. And so I always joke and say, when I moved here, you know, so Paradigm would not take me here. I was signed with them
anymore.
Yep. Because with Hollywood, everyone, and I'm always very honest, you know, they are looking for your, where's all your TV cred? And I had Broadway, and I had had tons of edgy indies, films. Nobody cared here. So it was a very different world for me after making a living acting, you know, 5 years in New York and then coming here. And so you kind of humble yourself and you bite it and you go, okay, what's next? And
right.
So segueing to answer you about the horror stuff, I was going back to New York a lot to do more indie films that with, you know, directors I had worked for before, and sort of started doing the, being their like liaison. I took producing courses, started Philly Chick Pictures, my production company, when I moved here.
Love that title. Great company name. Love it.
I am a Philly chick originally, Philly, Jersey, New York. And here I am in La La Land. Thank you. So that's what happened. So then when I had done a couple, I had a little mini recurring arc on a Fox sitcom, Quintuplets, back in 2004, and I had done the Mafiosa pilot for Comedy Central 2005, and Bobby Costanzo, Joey's dad from Friends, played my dad, and Jeremy Lincoln.
Oh, how fun.
Yes, it was amazing, amazing. And Johnny Roast Beef Williams from Goodfellas and all the mobsters. And so that was amazing, but didn't get picked up. So Quintuplets gets booted off TV after like 6 months, and Mafiosa doesn't get picked up. And so here I am, and I, long story long, go to Sundance 2004 and partner up with producers back in New York. And I said, you know what? I'm a visionary. The first Saw franchise came out. I am telling you, this is going to explode in that sort of psychological horror torture. And let's do, I will help you finance this. I will raise the money. I will be your LA liaison. Let's do an indie film. I'm a nobody. Let's surround me with named actors and make it really smart, psychological. And so we did. And it was titled originally Polycarp, which is a crazy funny story, which ended up for all the listeners to see how much control we know we don't always have when we're even producing. Yes. So I get to star in this fabulous mystery, horror mystery, titled Polycarp with, rest his soul, Oscar-nominated Charles Durning from Tootsie and Dog Day Afternoon.
Wow.
Oh, yes. Michael Paré from Eddie and the Cruiser, Streets of Fire, famous, famous in the 80s. And so Showtime picks it up and titles it Kinky Killers.
God. I can't even imagine getting that email. We'd like to title the movie Kinky Killers.
Right? I'm like, and she's here with like Oscar and Emmy nominated actors. And I'm like, right? And I'm like a nobody. So this is how my scream queen persona comes to be. It's like,
Oh, yes.
So you feel me, girl. So I'm like, oh my God. So I'm like, okay. So then next thing you know, my manager at the time calls, you need to come here. So Jillian, you know this, you're a veteran in the business as young as you are. And I'm like, okay, I'm getting dropped. I'm getting fired. Like I'm done.
That's it. That's it for me. See you later.
Right. So I go to the office and there is a stack. They go, come in here. Stack of fan mail. Now I'm nobody. Stack of fan mail and like sticky notes all over. They're calling you the new It Scream Queen. They want you to come out to horror conventions, Texas Frightmare Weekend, Horror Hound in Indiana, and they'll pay you a couple thousand dollars to go for a weekend. And I'm like,
Wait, what?
Right?
You're going to pay me to go on a vacation and meet people that love me? Okay.
Okay. And you get this from being a soap star, you know, like that whole fan base is
okay,
like,
I'm good.
Yes, like that whole fan base. So I'm like, oh, this is such a weird new world to me, but I embraced it. And at that point, you know, it's like, I'm 30 years old. I'm like, you know what? I am going to embrace this. And I did. Mm-hmm. And that is how the horror stuff for me came to pass. And then I was nominated for the B Movie Award in 2010 for Slime City Massacre for Best Scream Queen Actress of the Year.
I love it. I love it.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
I always had a dream of being a screen queen. I did one horror film, and it was a lot of fun. But I've only done that one.
What's the title?
Oh, it was Alien Abduction. I filmed that out in North Carolina. I think I was 19. It was based on the Brown Mountain Lights out there.
I know the title. Who directed that one?
That was Maddie Beckerman.
I totally know that film.
Yeah, and Lawrence Bender produced it, and Mike Fleiss. Yes. It was a lot of fun. It was crazy. We felt like there was like actual spiritual craziness going on around us, so that was bizarre and wild. And then I was like, maybe I'll stay out of the horror genre. It's a little too creepy for me.
I believe you, and I'm very sensitive to those energies,
too.
Oh,
yeah. Well, and we were out in North Carolina, like on the top of this mountain that had like, I think the nearest big thing was a Walmart that was 2.5 hours away. We were on Indian burial ground. We were filming a movie about things that people had actually seen up there. It was just one of those things where you're like, okay, I think I need to be around somebody. There was one night in particular where I spent the night at the woman's apartment who was playing my mom in the movie because I was like, Katie, I'm really scared. I'm coming
over.
Oh
my gosh.
And she was like, okay, I mean, just sleep on the couch. I was like, okay, thanks. Good night.
Oh, wow. But yeah, I believe you 100%. Like, yeah. I know. And they say that. They say that, you know, sometimes darkness draws darkness. And, you know, again, I think it's always been an incredible sort of escapism, the horror genre. And
oh, yeah. I love watching horror. I just don't think that I could be anything that, like, involved a ghost because I'd be too scared that there would be a ghost around me afterwards.
I had ghosts in my home that were proven. Oh, yes. But we'll talk about that another episode.
Okay. That'll be my next podcast. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So going back to this horror stuff. So when did you come up with Miss Vampy and how did that all start?
Oh, I love that because she's my alter ego still. Yeah. Even though I haven't done much with her lately because I've been focused on television and comedy. So I love that because she's so empowering for women and teen girls. And so how that came to pass, another, of course, you know, my stories are never short, but I will try to get you bullet points. So interesting. So again, after doing Broadway, network sitcoms, a lot of mobster movies, I get this pinned as this like scream queen now, right? Mm-hmm. So in about 2007. And so then I got invited to do a lot of like vampire modeling shoots and sort of that kind of fun stuff the horror stuff. Yeah. And I always made it fun. And I had this one FX company made me these like $5,000 veneer fangs, right?
Whoa.
So I would do
just
that.
Like real fangs.
Real
just
fangs.
Out there.
Yes. Like legit True Blood style, right? So I'm doing all these like modeling shoots and people are like going, oh, you're such a vixen. You're so vampy. You're all this and that. So next thing you know, I get hit up by a marketing company. Now hear what I'm saying, listeners, because it's beginning of 2008. Nobody was doing the apps yet or the web series yet.
What was that? That was like MySpace back then. Maybe Facebook had started at that point, but it was mostly back
in. Right.
Okay.
Yep.
I thought so.
Just starting. You're 100% right. So and you'll love this. So again, you'll see how I'm always at least committed to being like super female empowered, you know? So I go into the meeting in Beverly Hills and they're like, look, we love your whole like thing you're doing. You know, Ms. Vampy's kind of like a modern day Elvira, which she is like,
love that,
right? Like she's like an icon idol. Like I only wish. And so they said, but here's what we're thinking. We want to invest a little bit in you. And then your production company, of course, can, you know, finance the rest. Of course. Right. And
yeah, of course.
Of course. So I'm kind of like, okay, here we go.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for nothing. So they're like, you know, so, but here's our vision for you. Like, we want to do these apps. We want your company, Philly Chick Pictures, to film a series of them, like a web series that'll go on like the phone. And at the time I sort of like, I researched and it was like Puffy, like P. Diddy was like the only one who was doing like a, you know, app yet. And
they're like, of course it was P. Diddy.
Of course it was, right? So he's a visionary too. So they're like, okay, so what we want you to be like Brooke Lewis, you know, and at the time, so now I'm Brooke Lewis Bellis. At the time it was Brooke Lewis, right? Because I just got married last year. And so they were like, we want you to be Brooke Lewis vampire goddess. We want you to like push your boobs up more. And if you'd like to show a little skin, you can, you know, and be like Playboy-esque. And I'm going, listen, here's the deal. And for all the, I don't care if you're women and men listening, like seriously listen to what I'm saying. And this is the life coach in me. Like, you know, look, I don't judge anyone. You do what feels right in your soul. I always tell women and young women, you know, you're the one who has to sleep on your pillow at night and wake up with yourself in the morning. And so I was straight up, I'm like, listen, I'm so flattered and honored, but here's the deal. That is not me. It's not what I aspire to do. It's
good
not who I aspire
you.
To be. Thank you. And I was like, that's not my essence at all. If I were going to do something like this, here's how it would have to go for me to stay inspired and motivated to produce, to write, to do all of it. And so they kind of weren't interested so much in my idea, but I went back to my producing partners at the time and I said, I'm telling you intuitively, they're onto something. And so I was like, I kind of want to try doing, I had a little money in my production company because the economy hadn't crashed yet. And our investors were like, you know, and I was like, you know what? It's like 2008. I'm like, I want to try doing my own web series. And I'm like, but it has to be from my heart and soul. And they were all like, well, what would that be? I'm like, well, I love, let's go back to the body of my biggest work as an actress thus far, which is like mobster movies, comedy, horror now, you know, but also inspirational, also empowering young women. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I am Ms. Vampy. And I had always wanted to be like Mona and my cousin Vinny, you know, like that. I love, it's so me, like those East Coast mobster, you know, mob wives and mob hookers and so I went, that's what I'm going to do. And it has to have some kind of positive message. So moving it way along, because first she started sort of as a horror host. And I knew, again, for the listeners, and this is so inspiring to me because it reminds me to take chances because you just don't know. And at the time it was risky because I had done about four big horror films, indie horror films, and, you know, was pegged at this new Scream Queen. And then I'm like, okay, I'm either going to really piss these horror fans that I just got, you know, off, or they're going to love it. And I took a chance. And I would never forget, we released, like, and again, this is, you know, 2008, 2009.
Yeah, it's early.
Early. And we released, like, the like one webisode every Friday. I did the press releases, sent everything out to all of the, you know, horror websites and indie websites. And I was like, okay, I am going to either fall on my face or it's going to be a miracle. And I will never forget, like, that first webisode launched, and we had coverage from over 30 horror sites and podcasts and all of that. And Ravi, they're like calling her the new Elvira and saying she has a heart. And I actually then we went on to do the one which is Ms. Vampy's Tween Twuck, Teen Twuck, and In Between Twuck, which is, you know, she's the comedic mobster Brooklyn vampire with a heart of gold, right? And that took it a step further, and that was actually in beginning of, we released that in 2011. So it was a little bit later. We did it in studio. That's when, you know, you could really have a platform for web series, et cetera. So, and that was with a cast. I hired a cast director, Allison Buck, and we hired teen girls, a cast of teen girls, inclusivity. I wanted all ethnicities and cultures and backgrounds to really give truth to the issues that teen girls were struggling with. And so there's so much more to the story, but I'll leave it at that because...
I love that. I think that anything that you can create nowadays, and even back then, where you're giving inspiration to teenagers, it's something that they really need right now. Like the world that they live in is so much different from the one that I even lived in. I don't even know how like teenagers function with all of this crazy social media stuff all the time. And I just feel like anything to inspire teens and help them get on the right track and the safe track is so needed.
Couldn't agree more. I don't even, you took the words out of my mouth. Yep.
I wonder what that marketing company thought when they saw you do that. Did you ever go back to them and say, I did?
I did not. But I, you know, and here's the thing. Look, you take chances, and maybe they would have invested $1 million and something huge would have come out of it with her. But I followed.
But it's
heart.
Yours. Yes. And that's what matters. Because at the end of the day, you got to do it your way. And that's what feeds the soul.
Exactly. Absolutely. And, you know, and I still listen. We went on to write an entire feature film. I was inspired by like a High School Musical. We have a movie of the week written. And trust me, it's been at huge TV and production companies, been turned around and blah, blah, blah. And it's still here. And I still don't give up on it because it has a purpose. And it's a really cool show for teen girls, and I believe it will get made one day. I just hope I'm not too old to play Ms. Vampy.
So the whole point of the show, Thanks for Coming In, is to share a fun or tragic story. Do you have any of those? Do you have the one that got away, or just like a really crazy audition process that you went through?
I have many. I'm an OG. Oh my gosh, Jillian, I have so many.
Okay, give me your best. Okay. Give me your best one. The one that caused the most heartbreak. That's what we like to do here.
Okay, I love it. And I'll start crying, I swear. So is it okay if it's something that I booked, but then it was taken away from me?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay, so this is beyond an audition story, and I want to honor your show. And I have other fun ones too that just, you know, were definitely the ones that got away, you know. But this one stays with me all these years. So I, like I said, rewinding back to the beginning of our conversation, I'm in New York. I'm signed with Paradigm. I am living the life, you know. I'm making a living acting in Tony and Tina's. And I go in to Hopkins Smith Barden Casting. And I get to audition. I'm right out of college, and I get to audition for the feature film, Miramax film at the time, titled 54.
Okay.
And you're, I don't even know if you remember the movie because you were like young. Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, we're talking Michael Myers, Seal Award, Salma Hayek, Nev Campbell,
huge movie.
Breckenmeyer, huge. Okay. So I end up auditioning, I call back, cast. I am playing.
Oh my God.
Okay. Yes. Right out of college. And I am playing the role of Rico's girl. Rico's girl. Now, remind you guys, this is way back in the day for the listeners. So this is before these people were A-list freaking stars. Yeah. So I book it, and I am literally at my agent's desks, and we're on like a speakerphone back in the day. And, you know, they're going, okay, you are like projected to be the next, my idol, Mona in My Cousin Vinny style actress here in New York.
Gosh.
Like the next Marissa Tomei, truly, who I just think is breathtaking.
She's
and brilliant,
amazing.
Right? Like brilliant. So, and I looked up to her so much from My Cousin Vinny. And so I'm like shaking in the seat. So cut to, you will be playing Mark Ruffalo, everyone. Rico, you will be playing his girlfriend. So I was in, I got
cast. Oh my God, that's enough to make me want to die right there because I love him so much.
No, it gets better. Jillian, it gets better. So you're going to be in two scenes. You're Mark Ruffalo's girlfriend. You're in two scenes with Mark Ruffalo. One scene with Mark Ruffalo and Ryan Phillippe.
Oh my God.
And another scene with Mark Ruffalo, Ryan Phillippe, and Dominic Lombardozzi, who's just star in Ray Donovan and star of Mega TV, star, another brilliant, all three amazing actors.
Yeah.
So I'm like, now I don't even know who they are at the time because no one did because they hadn't gotten their A-list break yet, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, that was, what year is this?
This is 1997.
Oh, yeah. Nobody knew. I mean, Cruel Intentions hadn't even happened yet, had it?
It had not. Not even, I know it did last summer.
Nothing. Oh my God. Okay.
Okay. So it's actually like beginning of 98, we'll say. End of like right between like December 97, whatever. So I'm like, this is too good to be true. This is like huge. So I'm in the scenes with them. So long story long, moving it along, I go to set and they had shot a bunch of the film in Toronto and then shot the rest at the end in New York City. So, and New Jersey. So I go to set, I have my own trailer. It's, I mean, the whole dream.
And when you're like right out of college, that is amazing because that's probably the first time that you've been on a huge set.
Yep. For me. Yeah. Cause I didn't start really. I mean, I did theater through college, but like this was major. Yes, yes, yes. And again, your agents are telling you you're projected to be the next Marissa Tomei. So cut to, I am on set in my trailer. I remember it was like, I can feel it like it was yesterday. And it was this beautiful female AD, which back then wasn't very, you know, that didn't happen often.
You rarely saw females in power positions.
That's correct. So I am go to wardrobe. I'm in my, so I'm playing Rico's girl. So I'm playing, and you know, it's like a throwback, obviously Studio 54, right? So I'm like a little Guidette, like decked out, big hair, like the role I love to play. And I'm all dressed in wardrobe and I'm in my trailer and then they take me to set and we're standing there and it's cold outside and we're waiting like an hour. And then they cut and send us back to our trailers. Cut to, they said, we're not going to be able to finish the scenes today. We're so over time. We'll have to bring you back. So now I'm all excited because, as you know, we're like, okay, wait, we're going to get paid again.
Oh, yeah. I get another day of pay. Fantastic. Let me know.
Absolutely. So they bring us back the next day and they go over again and we never film the scenes. Cut to the end of the story is, and I'll never forget it like it's yesterday. And I swear to you guys, like I think of this when I have to do painful scenes as an actress because it kills me because it's the one that got away. And so then they bring us back a third day. So then actually I think they skipped a day and then I'm waiting, my agent calls. I'm going, this can't be happening. Like I'm projected to, this is going to like rocket my career, you know?
Yeah.
And my agent calls, they're going to bring you back again. They bring us back literally a third day and then send us home again. And I will never forget. Yeah. And that last night, this was really cool. I'll just share this. I ended up going back to the hotel where all the guys were being put up and Ryan Phillippe had a suite and he invited us all back to like hang out and, you know, and we were hanging out in the suite and we were doing some shots in the bar. We were, you know, it was really
what a dream.
Yeah. It's like, I'm hanging out with the guys and like a couple of the crew members. And it was just a really cool experience. And I'll never forget too. I'll tell you this cause you'll love it. So I remember we were there and we got back to the hotel and this big package like of like all these gourmet candies and this huge package sitting on the table. Yeah. And then I'll finish my story, but real quick, I'm segueing around. And I remember Ryan looking at it and going and reading the card being like, it's from my girl, Reese Witherspoon.
Oh my gosh, how cute.
Right? They just started dating. Right? He goes, I'm going to marry that girl one day. I swear, I remember. Like, so there are all these wonderful positive nuggets I hold on to. But anyway, so we're like doing some shots and they're like, Brooke, and I'm like, guys, I have a bad feeling. They're like, don't worry about it. And they all had leads in the film. So it was
right.
No sweat
so
to them.
It doesn't matter for them. They're totally. Like, I have a whole movie.
Right. So if a couple scenes get canceled, big freaking deal. But for me, this was major. So they end up go home that night again, and that's the end of it. They end up, so apparently Miramax went way over budget, and they cut the last five scenes of the film, and I happened to be in two of them, and done, and to this day, Jillian, I swear, to this day, I still get my residual checks, and every time I get a residual check, I'm getting emotional, I really am, like, yeah. Every time I get a residual check, I look at it now, A, it used to make me sad, but now B, I actually look at it as like, it's a sign from the universe saying you're okay. Like you're going to be okay. There's going to be opportunities like that, you know, in the future. Like, ooh, I'm so emotional. I'm just emotional these days with everything going on. But like, you know
my emotions run very high. I cry at commercials now.
See, we're all feeling. No, it's good. It's beautiful. We're feeling a lot of heavy stuff. So, you know, I always wonder like, what if, you know, and I've just,
yeah.
You know what I
and
mean?
And those are the hardest part of this industry is the what if.
Yep. And
what a story. What a story.
Like, what if, I would have been the next Leah Remini or, you know, and it's like, and I've had, as you, I'm sure, you know, so many close calls. I could tell a million stories of how it was down to, and a fun one, it was down to me, the beautiful Jennifer Esposito, and one other actress that I don't know, for Spin City when I was right out of college.
My God, I loved
Spin
City.
Remember that show?
I used to watch that syndicated in my parents' bedroom when, like, I was supposed to be doing my homeschool, and I was like, no, I'm going to be watching Spin City.
So there you have it. And I remember sitting in the waiting room to test with beautiful Jennifer Esposito, and she was super hot, literally and figuratively. Like at the time, she just finished Kiss Me Guido, this big film that went to all the festivals. And I'm like, and she was authentically, it was Stacey Paterno from Staten Island. I play a lot of those. And she was authentically like from there, that character, and drop dead gorgeous. And we tested, and I just, and that was one that broke my heart too, where she booked it, and I just lost it. But
yep,
here we
you
are.
Cry for a few days, then you move on.
Yep. And then you just go, what if? And then you go, nope, I'm not going to allow, like I said, you know, we make powerful choices. I'm not going to allow that chatter to get in, because you know what? Nobody has ever spoon fed me anything in this industry. Mm-hmm. I've done it all on my own. I was a single woman up until, you know, I got married a year ago. It's almost a year ago, exactly June 1st. And
happy anniversary.
Thank you. And so, you know, I'm proud. Just like you need to be so proud of yourself that, you know, I wish I knew. There's that old cliche, I'm going to sound like your mom. Like, I wish I knew now what I knew. I wish I knew then what I know now, you know? And so that's why for someone like you, and I was like you, I was a hustler. And look, I started doing, you know, I started producing in my 20s too. And like, I, you know, you just have to stay true to you and follow your heart and keep moving, everyone.
You got to keep moving. Otherwise, you're stuck. I mean, my mom taught me something when I was young, and it always stuck in my head when I was, you know, because I've been acting in Hollywood since I was 7-8 years old. So she would always teach me, do one thing a day for your career. Just one thing, like a small thing. It doesn't even have to be a big thing. Just a small thing. One thing a day for your career, and you'll go forward. And you'll always be moving forward then.
Is your mom an actress?
No, my mom has had a wild life. She's done so many different things, but now she's a producer and a writer. But she's done so much. She owned a decorating store up in Washington when we lived there. She worked for Brandup Airlines. She worked for a medical company at one point. She's done everything. She knows everything. She's one of those people that you're like, you just know everything, right? Yeah.
Right.
Okay. We used to call her Dr. Google.
I love it. Super well-rounded, but that's good because obviously she's instilled a lot of that in you.
100%.
So, yeah, that's awesome. And you know, it's funny. I love what you just shared that she told you, because do you know, one of my favorite acting, one of my big Broadway acting coaches in New York, when I first started out, shared that exact same thing with me. One thing a day. Yep. And it can be you guys, listeners, sending out an email. That's it. Simple.
Well, and even nowadays, it's so much easier to do that one thing. I could post an Instagram and it's like, that's my one thing today. Like, there's so much you can do now for your career on your own. It's amazing. I mean, I found we were going through a bunch of stuff in the house recently because we're obviously on lockdown and can't do anything. And I found demo reels that were VHSs still. And I was like, oh my God, that is how old I am. I have a VHS demo reel that you'd have to send to a casting director.
Oh.
That's crazy to me.
I love that. You know you can get those. You know you can get them. Obviously, you know you can get them switched over to DVD now.
I have to get them. I have to get it because I really need to see what's on those.
Oh, that's so awesome. But see, they're the beautiful little positive nuggets, everybody, that we're finding in this mess. You know, and so I love that.
It's been so great talking to you. I loved it. I'm going to have you back on.
I would love nothing more. I would love it. Let's you and I stay in touch. And hey, I'm telling you, we're going to work on something together one of these days.
We should. And hey, before you go, what's your social media so everybody can follow you?
Yes. So I am now Brooke Lewis Bellis, everyone, but I'm still using my old handles, Instagram and Twitter, at Brooke Lewis LA. I have Facebook as the fan page, at Brooke Lewis LA, brookelewis.com, and everything else.
I love it. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your stories.
You're awesome. Thank you so much for having me. It was as fun as I knew it would be.
Aw, I love it. Yay. Everyone, give it up for Brooke.
Aw, thank you, Jillian.
Thanks again to Brooke for coming on the show. She's just so lovely. She makes me smile, and I'm so happy that I met her. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening to it now. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your dog. Tune in next week to hear my conversation with Venice the Series actor Gregory Zarian. And in the meantime, check out the podcast social media. Links are in the show notes. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.